Welcome to the 255th episode of Towel I Talk. This is Chris.
This is Casey.
And we're back talking the geek news, breaking it down for y'all. You know, we're on like a once a month schedule now. So we let this news build up like Old Faithful and then just shoot hot geyser news all over your faces. So are you ready to talk some news, buddy?
I wasn't sure where that was going, but yes, I am ready to get all volcanic on this episode.
We're keeping it appropriate here for all ages. That's what we'll talk about, national monuments instead of, you know, sexual acts and stuff like that. So good. Anyways, what have you been geeking out on, bud?
You know, Baldur's Gate, still chugging along. I've been off of it for about a week, unfortunately, because we did some traveling. In that time, though, I did binge Fallout and loved it. I started Ark. I watched the first episode, that dinosaur, the Vin Diesel. I tried the game, and I don't know if, like, I got into it at a bad time, because I've heard it is better now, kind of like No Man's Sky is better. But the show so far, you know, in half an hour, I was like, okay, this is a cool idea.
I think one of the biggest issues with that game is the UI on when you play on console, and that's the only thing I tried playing it on, is so small. And so it's very hard to read what's going on the screen, and there's so much stuff that, like, command base, that I just lost interest in it real quick. It's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Like Dino Riders and shit, but yeah, you know, it was tough.
But
I forgot that show existed.
Yeah, it's, you know, They didn't say anything. Oh, you know what else I watched? I finished Knuckles. Great show.
Oh, okay.
Great show. If you like those Sonic movies, they just keep it going. It's even more over the top. There's at times where I thought it was a low budget pictures movie. Like, they really just don't try to be serious. And it's about bowling, and they make every joke that you can about, you know, Big Lebowski and that other one, that other funny bowling movie.
Kingpin?
Yeah, Kingpin. Nice. Anyways, Knuckles is great.
Interesting. Very nice. What have I been doing? Baldur's Gate, Men Act 3, trying to get that done. In anticipation of finishing Fallout, which I'm on episode 3 still, I did start New Vegas, which I've been meaning to play for well over a decade. And so I've just been really plugging away at that, kind of staying out of the Forgotten Realms just so it doesn't end too quickly. But then again, I'll just start a new game anyway. So I don't even know what the point of that is. Yeah. I've been still deeply diving into Magic, the Gathering. Actually going to a Commander event this weekend. For the 50th anniversary of D&D. So it's the Baldur's Gate Commander tournament. So that's, I'll be looking forward to that. I haven't really done anything out in the public with it. So that's, I'm going to dip my toes in socializing with some other geeks and play some cards. So
you're going to have, like, the best time, man.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Are you, like, do you care if you win or lose? Like, does it matter? Like, you don't lose your cards or anything, you just get disgraced, like, publicly.
I think these kind of things are set up for newer players anyways. Commander is a big casual foray to begin with. So even so, more with like a draft tournament where you're just drafting out of packs and everybody's building a 60 card deck. And it's kind of like you haven't built this deck. You haven't played with it. So it's just kind of like you're going out there, you're having some fun. There's some cool prizes. There's a giant dungeon match that they've created specially for this event that the winner takes that. So, you know, and then you can win some collector packs. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. And I've been wanting to do this kind of stuff. I wanted to do it for Versus when I was playing, but it just wasn't this, like, it was before, like, the ability to even really be online and learn how to play things. And it was like,
that's it. You didn't have YouTube telling you how to do things.
Right. And just like, I just feel like that the Magic community is very, like, open to new players and things like that. So I'm looking forward to it. Anyways, We got some passings since our last show. A couple big ones. Bernard Hill, who was in Lord of the Rings and also in Titanic. He passed away. He was the captain of the Titanic, and then he was King Aomir. No,
I can't forget what his name is. Those names.
He was the one that was tricked by Grima Wormtongue into.
Yeah, he was in Helm's Deep. He's King Theoden.
Theoden, that's it.
Yeah, Theoden.
And then also Roger Corman, director of such great things, including the little-known Fantastic Four movie that never made it to anywhere outside of the internets. But Death Race, low-budget film director, one of the mainstays of that world.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, we wouldn't have James Cameron if it wasn't for Roger Corman. We wouldn't have a lot of schlock B movie people if it wasn't for Roger Corman, and super sad to hear of his loss. Little Shop of Horrors, that's a Roger Corman production before the musical. So anyway, yeah, two big losses.
So just a moment of silence for those two creators. All right, let's talk some news, because it's crazy, right? Because I think a lot of this news has come out over the last week, especially the last two days, to be more specific. But let's first touch on this. The Deadpool and Wolverine trailer number 2. I don't think you watched it, did you? You still have
it? I heard it when I went and saw it, Planet of the Apes. I just kept my head down.
Yeah, it's, you know, they just really dived into the red bandedness of how they're going to make this an R-rated movie. And it's not, and Disney's going back on all their promises, and Kevin Feige is allowing Hugh Jackman to be Wolverine, and all the stuff that, you know, the MCU wasn't supposed to be, but since it's, you know, not doing so well, they give the fans
what they want.
Right? Amazing how that works. So I thought this trailer was pretty great if you love watching them just drop F-bombs and then giving you little hints of what the movie could be about. Some neat little cameos you find out about. And then I'm just waiting to see how crazy they get with all the universe jumping. So, you know, this drops in July, which is really exciting. It's right over the summer. So getting ready for that summer blockbuster.
Save the universe. Save the cinema.
Exactly. Another big movie that's coming from the MCU is Fantastic Four. We've got a buttload of castings that just happened. Some unknown, some we know of. So let's just get through these. Natasha Lyonne, unknown. This is just announced today.
I love her as an actress. So, I mean, there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She's going to bring it. Ralph Ineson, whatever. He's going to play Galactus.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like Galactus. I'm cool.
You know that actor. He's in so many things. Mm-hmm. He's actually in Guardians. Like, yeah.
Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. John Malkovich. Unknown role. I'm thinking like maybe Sue and Johnny's father. That's my guess.
Probably.
And then the great Paul Walter Hauser, who people are assuming he might be the Mole Man. That's one of the fan guesses out there, which I was like, I could see it. So
I hope they recreate. I just go back to the 60s. Just, I mean, I know they are, but, you know, like, just don't stray from it. Keep it in there. And if you want that as your first villain, please do it.
Right. Like, it seems like a lot, but there's ways you can really just kind of touch on, like, these, like, you're fighting Mole Man at the beginning of the movie, and that's the thing that happens, right? Like, it was the same thing with, like, Batroc and things like that, where we were really get excited. It's like, oh, we'll just, it's a quick one-off during the movie. Maybe the character will come back later and later down the road, but give fans what they want. Giancarlo Esposito, unknown role, but he's been cast in the MCU. Some people are saying replacement for Kang. I'm not sure.
I mean, he's in the family, you know, right? Like, well, listen, Kang is what, one of many, right? So, right. Yeah, sure. This is older Kang. I'm fine with that. This is the first Kang. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, they can come up with some stupid crap for that. And great actor. He's already in the Disney family. Done. Good. I'm good.
Exactly. Yep. I agree. But something that they just came out and said this past week about this lower output of TV and movies. I swear I've heard this before from them at some point during our MCU tenure. I don't know if they think we just forget things or I don't know. Whatever it is they're just saying this so that people aren't just complaining as they always do about the output. Now, all we want is quality product. So whether you're putting out a lot of stuff or not, just make it quality stuff, and I'm sure that fans will be happy. So go back to the drawing board, start taking from the years of material you have, maybe, and then you know, take care of the fans first. I'm not sure what the trick is, but I would feel like this doing your own thing hasn't been paying off for them.
No. So we're going to see how this goes, but great actor, happy to see him show up, happy to see them do less movies. Just get it right, you know? Just
exactly
get it right.
This is big news. Nicolas Cage will star in the Spider-Man Noir series that's coming to Amazon Prime Video. I would never expected this to happen. You know, he voiced it in Spider-Verse, but this makes it even better and makes me look forward to the show as something that's really just more unique than Amazon just trying to put out a Spider-Man live action show, you know, just like grabbing at straws, like, oh, we need something Spider-Man because we can. This is the way to do it.
That's it. Having him play him in live action. I don't know what this looks like. Like, is Nicolas Cage going to be completely in costume? Or are we going to see his face? Like, what's the story behind it? Like, this is just kind of insane to me, and I'm more than happy to see where this goes, to be honest with you.
Reed. One thing I'm not really sure where it's going is the Agatha show, and it's just kind of transformed its name over and over again, and then they just made this announcement that it is Agatha all along, and that all along it's really just been this title or her missing with the title of the show. I don't care. It's just, the show doesn't sound good to me. I know nothing about it, but unless it's like Midnight Suns or something based around the real side of that universe I want to see, I don't care. I don't want any more boners running around.
I agree. I don't really have any. Like, it's too bad. I really like Catherine Hahn as an actress. I have zero against her. I just don't care about that character. But I don't have to.
But I would if it was like comic, more, you know, more comic based, like they go into Midnight Suns or whatever they want to do. But I don't,
maybe it will flip. Maybe they were like, hey, on Wanda, she was a joke, but no, she really is a badass. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they'll subvert the expectations again.
I mean, they kind of did that by the end of the show, right? In a way, like, came out full power, and like, there was that whole superhero battle and back
to right
thing. So, listen. I mean, it's not like I've been watching MCU shows like I should. So it's kind of like, I would love to get back into the world, and I would love to have reasons to go back and watch. I haven't even watched Loki season 2, which is a disappointment.
Me myself. Either. Yeah. But,
anyways, it comes out September 18th. Daredevil Born Again has been dropped to 9 episodes and will premiere sometime in March of 2025.
It was originally 17, right?
Yeah, around there. Yeah.
Interesting.
17 or 18. Yeah. They cut it in half.
What is happening?
I don't know, because I was kind of intrigued, like maybe they were doing like a villain of the week thing with an 18 episode show where it was like more one-off stories. Now it seems like it's going to maybe be more of a concentrated 9 episodes, kind of like
the show, like
the show was.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Or half the show. Right. Cause we would always be like, oh, we got to get to 13 episodes. Oh wait. So where's that sweet spot?
Yes.
Yeah. 8 or 9 episodes.
Yeah. You could do 10 if you, you know, Amazon seems to do really well with 10 because both HBO and Amazon do 10. You're right. So Netflix, you know, 8 sometimes feels like too little, and then 13 sometimes feel like too much. So I'd say 10 is good.
Yeah, all I know is that I'm very happy this show's coming back, and it seems like they've changed course, and hopefully they give us a nice street level Daredevil show. And then finally, Ironheart is still going to happen 2025. So we'll see what happens with that, because we still have Armory Wars and all these other things that were supposed to be related to this little world there. The Tony Stark legacy, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah. So X-Men 97, that is done. I forgot to add that into my geeky.
Yes. Yes. I was planning.
I'm saying
it
because
well.
I don't care about Ironheart, but
yeah. No. That's what we're going to be doing after when we finish the show. I'll be watching that episode.
Yeah.
The greatest thing they've done. So
it is. It quite honestly is the best thing that Marvel has done since a long time, since Endgame. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. There's been some comic book news as well. Another 2099 event is coming, Annihilation 2099. This will be from Steve Orlando and team. So we'll be exploring some all new 2099 heroes and villains. I'm just still waiting for Ravage to return.
That's Dracula 2099. They're just going to use that.
Oh, he becomes Dracula.
I don't know, but there is a Dracula 2099, which is crazy. Steve Orlando's a great writer. This sounds, you know, Chris and I lived during the 2099s, even though it's 2024s. And that was definitely something that shaped our comic book youth. So, you know, they keep bringing these initiatives. They brought back Miguel a while ago now. So 2099 hasn't gone away, but I'm interested to see what this new take is on these characters that we didn't get before.
No, absolutely. I think keeping this world alive is important because it's nostalgia for a lot of us.
So. Yeah.
So Bloodhunt's coming along with their new introduction of Red Band material. And so, spinning out of that will be a new Werewolf by Night series. It's going to be also Red Band material from Jason Liu and Sergio Davila.
His art looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Cover art. Okay, so now they just put red things on there? That's what they do now?
I don't know. I think they polybag it, so your comic gets fucked
up.
Yeah,
it says polybag, which is seems like a waste of money. Okay.
I don't know. Polybag is one thing, but it's like polybags also ruin the condition of your comic a lot of the time too. So it's like, it's just notorious for that. Anyways, if you didn't see this coming, then you don't really read comic books very often, but Marvel will be crossing over Aliens and Avengers. And guess what? Jonathan Hickman is writing it with Asad Ribic on art. So,
That's a dynamic duo. That's the problem. It's like, now I need it.
There's no problem. This is the kind of stuff that sucks us right in.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I mean, as unneeded this kind of stuff is, it's still needed by Aliens fans like us, who will never, you know, let that franchise die ever.
No.
Ever. Now we just got the Wolverine and Predator crossover, so this is just as appropriate. Especially since it's going to be like the cosmic side of the so. Right. And then just announced today, Iron Fist turns 50. This August, you'll get a special, the 50th anniversary special, hitting. Chris Claremont will be returning to the character, also with Alyssa Wong, continuing the story of the newer Iron Fist, Lin Lai. So it's going to be a whole smorgasbord of Iron Fisting and martial arts antics.
Iron Fisted.
That's right. That's right. Can't wait.
You know, they just don't. They just don't give him enough love, though. Like, the fact that it's his 50th, I didn't even know, because it's only been talked about Wolverine.
Right, and you don't even think of, like, the character's just as old as Wolverine, or that Sabretooth premiered in Iron Fist.
Crazy. I thought Iron Fist was actually older, to be honest with you. More you know?
That's right. We're all getting old, even Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. Jumping over to the other side of the big two spectrum. Superman Legacy. We got our first look at Superman. Don't even remember his name. In costume.
David Corn Sweat.
Thank you. It looks like Superman. Putting his shoes on, one Mr. Roger at a time.
My favorite is all the memes of him, like, in a Payless shoe store and everything. It cracks me up.
All the, like, Godzilla behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And all the stuff they put in. Yeah, it's great. But so is that costume, and I'd still your way. So
gotta see it in action before I get excited. That's all that I have to say.
Right.
But yes, it looks like Superman, and it looks like the suit. There you go.
Exactly. And then a couple castings from that. Pa and Ma Kent will be played by Pruitt Taylor Vince and Neva Howell.
Okay. So, I don't know them. Maybe.
Me neither. You'll know them if you see them, and then even more so if you look at their IMDb, because I had to.
Okay.
Big news the other day.
Sorry. Yeah, I know these people.
Yeah, you know those people. And I'm sure they'll star in this next movie as well. Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. Maybe not, because it's based on the Tom King comic. This will be the second DC Films movie to come out, which is originally, was it on that first big slate of Gods and Monsters? Was it? Or did they slip this one in?
I thought they slipped this one in.
Yeah. So it's interesting that we're going right to this next. And,
but that's live action, because I think Creature Commanders would come out before that.
Yeah.
And no, the Batman got pushed back to 26. So, yeah.
Which isn't even part of this world.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just thinking of DC movies.
Oh, movies. Yes. Yep. Yeah. So that's one movie that I'm really looking forward to, because I love that comic. So
big time.
Times. If you haven't watched My Adventures with Superman on Adult Swim, go and do that, because it's a great piece of Superman media. Let me just put it that way. It's anime style. It's mm-hmm. They take some really cool liberties with some of the villains. It's very much Superman, though, with the trio of Clark and Lois and Jimmy. And I love that show, and I can't wait, because it returns on May 25th.
They just said it's basically like Dragon Ball Z. They said it's Superman mixed with Goku.
No way. But it's very much Superman.
Yeah. No, I mean, I need to watch it. That's all there's to it.
It's good. I think you'd like it. Couple castings here. A big one here is Frank Grillo will be playing Rick Flagg Sr. As promised by James Gunn, some of the characters from the animation will also be playing their live action roles. And so with Peacemaker season 2, quote unquote, being a reboot, basically a new take on the Peacemaker character, let's bring in Rick Flagg Sr., because Peacemaker killed Rick Flagg Jr. It gets all very confusing. Anyways.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Listen, Frank Grillo is going to be playing him in live action. Frank Grillo is in animated. I love Frank Grillo. Yeah.
Exactly. And this just gives us hope for the other castings. Like, I guess it was like, what, Yennefer from The Witcher was cast as Cersei or whatever.
You know, Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman. Like, these are the things, like, I hope happen, because it'll be awesome. Mark Strong, cast in the Penguin show. Unknown role, but he's in it.
Doesn't matter.
It's coming soon, so it's probably all shots. So
yeah,
just announced, sure, that he's in there. Great stuff. Yep. Mark Strong's a great actor.
That's it. Awesome actor. Love him and everything he does.
Maybe he plays Sinestro. I'm just joking. Batman the Caped Crusader, something that we thought was dead and now is very much alive. The new Bruce Timm animated show has given us our first look at stills. And it is very much like Batman origin, like 1940s design. They've even, like, as Bruce Timm says, you know, being the co-creator Harley, he was able to go back and change how they're introducing this more noir world. So this looks pretty interesting. I do like the, you know, the art looks great, and I'm just waiting for more. This comes out on August 1st. I think it's on Amazon.
Yeah, this is also JJ and Matt Reeves produced. This is, yeah, we've been talking about this for a couple of years. Hey, I'm in. I love Bruce Timm's art. You know, we grew up with it. So I love that animation style. I love that version of the character. So I'm in.
Oh, I mean, the original one defined Batman for generations to come. Period. Comic side. So it was announced that Scott Snyder would be developing like an Ultimate Comics-esque world for DC, and now we know it's actually called Absolute Comics. So he'll be spearheading and running this whole thing. So we'll be getting, I guess, basically what's Elseworlds and Black Label, but it's or New 52, or, you know, just a different telling of the DC universe. Continuity. New continuity.
They did. We don't have it on here, but now that you say it, they did announce new Elseworlds. I forgot we got that trailer. That was yesterday. That.
What new Elseworlds? Like the one that they've been talking about before.
The Gotham by Gaslight, the Kryptonian Age. Yeah. They announced all of them, like when they're coming out too.
Oh, the dates of them? Finally.
So there's Gotham by Gaslight is June. Andy Diggle. Dark Knights of Steel all winter. Jay Kristoff, that's in July. DC versus Vampires. That's the
fucking one?
Yeah. World War V, Matt Rosenberg, Otto Schmidt in August. Batman the Barbarian, Greg Smallwood, September. Green Lantern Dark, Tate Bromble in October. And then Batman Nightmare, Clay and Seth Mann in November.
Awesome. I'll be buying all those.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yep.
Anyways.
Elseworlds, listen, Scott Snyder, we love Scott Snyder. I don't know what Absolute Comic Books means, but we'll see what it means. You know, fine, whatever. Call it Elseworlds, call it Absolute. We're going to check them out. Those are where some of the best DC stories come from. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When you don't have to take continuity too seriously. With the success of A Nice House by the Lake, by James Tinney in the Fourth, the follow-up is called The Nice House by the Sea.
Oh, I'm sure it sounds really sweet.
Yeah, so this new Black Label title will be coming soon. Looks like the series will launch on July 24th.
I love that other one. Nice House on the Lake was really good. So this bringing a bunch of weird characters together and going through existential crisis in the middle of nowhere. Sure. Show it to me again, James.
Bring it on. The next creative lineup for Action Comics, the Superman initiative that they're doing this year with the revolving door of creators. The next one starting at AC 1067 is Gail Simone and Eddie Burroughs. And so I thought that was a really cool team up. I love Eddie Burroughs' art and Gail Simone. You know, it'll be interesting to see what she does with the character. And they're going back to, it's a Clark Kent story, I believe it is.
Okay. I mean, I love Gail Simone. It's a good duo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly. And then last up, a new Blue Beetle graphic novel has been announced. It's called This Land is Our Land. And the Blue Beetle story, it arrives in October. Imee Reyes continues as the titular character. And who's this by? This is by Julio Anta and Jacob E. Salcedo. Young adults. Young adults, beware.
Yeah,
you know, it's always good that DC seems to do a better job about doing this, to be honest with you. Like, they really know how to hit all age groups, and I like that. So this is a good idea.
Good. Yeah, they've been really, like, these have been coming out for a while, and it doesn't seem like they're not unpopular. So, I mean, they're selling, and it just getting younger kids into comics. All right.
That's it. Graphic novels are huge right now.
So let's jump over that Star Wars universe. And so guess what? Patty Jenkins is apparently back on the Rogue Squadron movie that has been dropped. And now it's real again. I don't know what Star Wars is anymore. So I'm very confused about this. It is a movie that I thought was very, it was unfortunate that it got dropped, honestly. Because getting away from like the main, all the Jedi stuff, and tackling a different side of things that was very popular in the book series, like war and starships is a big part of Star Wars. And it's just like, I was just kind of really disappointed when this was not going to happen. And now it seemingly is back on. So,
This is really interesting. So she said she was working on Wonder Woman 3. Wonder Woman 3 stopped, and then she started re-talking to Star Wars, and then the strike happened. So, interesting. Okay. Listen, I'm in. You know, we love Rogue Squadron. We were excited about the announcement at the time. It could potentially be really good news, but we'll find out if it even comes about. We've already heard this announcement like a few years ago.
Right. Right, exactly. It just seems like everything with Disney just is like this revolving circle of like, is this happening? It's not. It's happening. Oh,
it's like content? How DC we have less was. Content. Honestly,
right.
When DC was like all up in the air announcing things and then never showing them.
We shall see. Also Skeleton Crew, which has been strangely without much news at all. They think it's going to come out holiday season of this year. And I don't see why it wouldn't, because it's
been done.
We've only seen some stills from it. And I mean, I'm really excited for this show because it sounds like a really cool idea. So hopefully maybe this summer we get a trailer for it. You maybe would have thought they would have put that out during Star Wars Day. I don't know.
Right, because we've never seen anything as fans. Nope. Like, they showed some stuff at Celebration, but we've never seen it. So what's interesting is we've got the Acolyte, but next year, I guess it's Andor? Like, is Ahsoka even filming right now?
I thought even Andor was like 26. Or,
Mando's filming.
Yeah.
So I guess we've got one show. I guess I don't know because they
and
wanna
the Mando movie,
right? But because they want to pull back on output, I don't know what this all means now.
The Star Wars, like I feel like they've already pulled back on output completely. I don't know either, man. I just, you know, let's just, like I said, if they can just get on track with some quality material and just get me interested again, like let's do it because you're here and there and you're not really everywhere anymore. So something that did kind of catch my eyes, this great idea of Lego Rebuild the Galaxy. I do love Lego Star Wars specials. This looks like a lot of fun, and you know, fans are finally getting what they've speculated about for years, that Jar Jar Binks is truly a Sith.
Yeah, this is it's what if, you know,
in
Star Wars, and it's a great idea. You know, Disney did a really good job, or Disney's Lego specifically, did a really good job with that first special that they did, where they went through all of the different movies, you know, and kind of like did a behind the scenes, like what was happening. Like that was just smart. So this should be good. I'm excited.
Agreed. And this is a little bit of older news, but I don't care because if you remember the EU book Death Troopers,
I do.
It's interesting.
Was it
right?
EU or was it out of canon?
It was
considered like part of that though?
Nobody knows. It could have been like probably out of canon, maybe a standalone thing, but it happened during the EU time, right? And so this has been adapted into a video game, which looks very much like something I'd love to play if it was real. And maybe someday it will be. It's interesting how also Disney stole the name Death Troopers.
I know. Yeah.
And then also stole the idea of zombie troopers.
They sure did. Yeah. You know what, though? In those situations, I bet you it's somebody like Dave Filoni going, here's this thing that exists. Let's go talk to the guy or, get, you know, whoever, the person who did this thing and ask him if we can do it. And they probably are like, yeah, you could do it. You know, like who would say no? So anyway.
A few companies would.
Yeah, man.
And they do. Let's jump to the crowdsource. All the great things you can go out and crowdfund and back and get some cool, cool stuff. This first one is Dr. Melgum's body bags. What is this?
This looks this like some is...
cool toys.
Yeah, this is something that if I was a kid again, I would have flipped out. Basically, you take all these different parts from these different monsters, and you can mix and match the legs and the arms and the heads and kind of create your own different combination, more than 10,000 unique combinations of monsters. So, you know, the price is actually really good. Like just to get like 7 plastic parts is $25 and then it goes up from there, but you can do a whole bundle for $80. Like the whole shebang is $120. And at for toys, you know, in this day and age, like I am shocked. So they've got 2 weeks to go. They've made almost $40,000 off a $10,000 goal. So they're doing good. It's just time for stretch goals. But I think it's, I wouldn't get them for me, but if I had a kid or like a teenage boy or girl or something, I would go, okay, this is a fun gift for them.
And the body bags come from the little bags they come with, right?
Which I loved all that kind of stuff when we were a kid, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. How many days left on this? I just closed it for the next one.
2 weeks. Give
it up. 2 weeks left. So get out there and back it if you want something unique and fun to play with. Next up, we just talked about James Tinney in the fourth. And so he has a brand new book coming out, right? This is the first decade at Boom Studios. Something is Killing the Children, The Woods, Mimetic. All of these are collected into editions, comics, collectibles, all of this stuff. So if you're a big fan of Tinney, which you should be, check this out. It's well funded. It's got 28 days to go.
Yeah, it is well funded. Yeah, Jake, you know, friend of the podcast, Jake, he immediately snatched this up yesterday. I sent him the link. I don't know what tier he went in, but he's a huge Tinian fan. I wouldn't be surprised if he went for one of the big ones. But hey, these are beautiful sets, honestly. Mm-hmm. They look amazing, and his Boom has been really killing it in the Kickstarter game with these box sets. So I'm excited that fans get a chance to get these. All the series are great. Tinian is one of the rare writers who like sticks it to me throughout.
Yes.
The quality never dips. It's always good.
Exactly. Yeah, and then just real quick, his multimedia company just launched. It's like, has been uber successful, even more so in such a small amount of time. So, creative genius, go check this out. We'll leave the links for both Kickstarters in the show notes. But for now, we're going to commercial. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
DFAT Comics is the publishing branch of DontForgetATowel.com. The only place to travel geekly. Focusing on creator-owned and independent titles like Hollowed, Pursuit of Plastic, and Fairy, and many more. DFAT Comics will be a mix of genres appealing to every kind of reader. Join the new source of comic book entertainment with DFAT Comics.
There the bugger is. She's a big one, ain't she?
Oi! Over 20 points of articulation, great sculpting,
And look at the paint job on her. We've been looking all over for this one. Let's get them in our sights and end this hunt now. All right. All right. Steady. Steady now. Got him! It's the pursuit of plastic. Listen to the podcast from the creators of DontForgetATowel.com. Geek out about toy news, hunting, and histories on your favorite collectibles.
From the far reaches of the galaxy to an internet location near you, we're DontForgetATowel.com, your daily source for geeky pop culture news, reviews, interviews, and so much more. So as you're hitchhiking your way through the universe, don't forget to travel safe, and don't forget a towel.
We're back from those commercials, and so let's talk a little Pursuit of Plastic. Some cool stuff has dropped as of late, including Cowboys of Mu Mesa are back. This is the Nacelle people, right, that are doing these? Is this part of that whole initiative? Yes, the Nacelle action figures. So They're building a little shared universe of all the great stuff from our childhood, including this. And so there's three figures that are now available for pre-order, and we'll leave a link in here. You get the Marshall, Mu Montana, Sheriff Terrible, and Calamity Kate. So these are great.
Good prices, $35 right. bucks.
Right, it's like
the package.
Yeah, it's still cheaper than like Super 7. It's like, as much as Marvel Legends are now for probably stuff that's much, much better made. So,
agreed.
Anyways. If you have a big wallet, there's been some developments in the RoboSend side of the Transformers universe, including Megatron. And then I also noticed that there was also a Grimlock made. So the Megatron, like we saw this before, there was the Optimus Prime auto-converting robot. Big collectible that talks.
I remember the Grimlock
noise.
Yeah,
the Grimlock is like, yeah. I don't remember that at all. And now it's like, this one is twice the price of both the other ones. I mean, it's like $900 for Megatron, $700 for Optimus Prime, $1,700 for Grimlock. Wow.
I think I saw it like on Instagram as like one of those, you know, like fun toy accounts, and just didn't think about it like being real, you know, like,
yeah,
or like thought it was like a cheap knockoff thing, didn't look into it anymore. But yeah, I do remember seeing this.
Awesome. What's not so awesome is spending $80 on a 1/64 scale transforming Matchbox Hot Wheel crossover Mattel Hasbro. Let's rip your wallet into pieces. Listen, I respect the diecast. It's been a long time for diecast. Sometimes they'll do Transformers and diecast. Not like they used to back in the day when you get those original collectibles. But this I don't get, man. Really don't. I think this is just like punching you right in the wallet.
I think it's a shitty cash grab, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that scale is a slap to the face. If it was bigger in diecast, I'm... $80 for this? I don't like it.
No. It's in the palm of your hand. Like, you can transform this.
I don't know who's
this.
Buying it. Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
Then they'll make more. They'll make more.
Yeah.
Because people will buy them. Next, Mondo continues their Master of the Universe onslaught of 1/6 figures with the new Sky Sled vehicle. They did Battle Cat Panther, now the Sky Sled. So they're really moving into like not just the figures for this line. It looks great. I love that vehicle. I believe it comes with like winded hair, Adam face, and He-Man face, and all that stuff. So it's cool to do that. Right now it's up as a timed exclusive or a Mondo, so you can check that out.
It's just like you said. It is so very good that you did not start on this path, because it's only getting better.
God. I did start on that path.
I know, but I'm saying you didn't keep going. Yeah.
No. I actually was happy that I sold the ones I had before like the remake started coming out.
Yeah.
You know, like, forget that. Get my money back and be done with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other thing is like, they're going to, this other piece of news is they're going to make Thundercats at that scale.
Oh, I know.
I saw that. Which is great. You know, yeah. Those look great. But you know what I've done already? I've already collected all my Super 7 and Mattel Thundercats classics, and I'm well fed on any need for Thundercats. Ever
again. But it's good to have the variety for these other people, so you guys enjoy it.
Right. There's not a recession or anything. So
no.
You know, spending's not down, so let's just keep making more stuff.
Like this.
Like this next thing, which just came out of left field. We knew that Mezco had made that 4-pack Ninja Turtles set. It was very kind of their own making, their own styling. But now they've come out with the animated 4-pack based on the looks from the TV show, classic TV show.
Great. I mean, they're some of the best looking Turtles toys I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They really, really are. Just the articulation, and it's more of a throwback to the Eastman Laird versions of the characters. It's ridiculous.
I'd like that original 4-pack more than I like this one, though, because it's like,
oh yeah, me too. I don't like this one as much, but like that they exist.
Yes. And then last up, the next Lego Icons Lord of the Rings set, Barad-dûr, was finally revealed. It was hinted at for a while. We knew it was coming, but for only $460, you can get your hands on the Eye of Sauron. And did you see the little commercial they made for it on the socials?
Yes, I did.
It's pretty good stuff. I am spent on my Lego Icon sets for the year with that D&D set,
which is sold out.
Right, and I'm also very happy the D&D one sold out again.
Yeah.
Oh man.
The Mimic is already on eBay for like $150.
Oh, I need to go put that up right now. No, I'm just joking. Go put that up and then go buy the one off Timu, the ripoff one, so you can actually have one. So yeah, you can buy like 20 of them for that price.
There you go.
So this is another reason why I'm glad I sold all of my Lord of the Ring Lego sets when I did, because after they released what is the elf paradise or whatever it is there. Once that was announced, I sold them all because they were very popular at that point. I sold them all right away. And now this is just epic. So
yeah.
Very cool for you Lord of the Rings collectors out there. If you have the wallet power for it. Jumping over to comic book news, Tiny Tina's Wonderland, Land of the Giants. Any interest in this?
Yeah, you know, it's it looks good. Paul Tobin's writing it. It's about a bunch of different characters who got to join up to commit heinous acts of awesomeness as they track down a giant called Hilly the Kid. You need that kind of stupidity coming from Tiny Tina. And, you know, you and I are both fans of that world, though we do need to jump into that specific world.
Yes, you do, because I've already beaten that game and we haven't played it together yet. Ooh, so,
okay, yeah.
And it's not that long of a game. It's not like Borderlands 3 length or anything like that. Ugh, so,
yeah.
And I enjoyed it. It's a fun game. I had just gotten done with 3, like the massive playthrough that it is. And then I played this and I was like, oh, that's it. So, it's fun though. So we should get back to our Borderlanding. Next up, Matt Cave. Matt Cave. I think you introduced me to Matt Cave recently. I had no idea what it was, and then I saw this Flash Gordon comic was dropping.
Well, they did the Dick Tracy and the Gotcha Man series, and so they've been picking up IPs. They've mostly just done original content,
and this is really their first.
Well, no, Dick Tracy just came out a couple weeks ago.
Right.
That was the first big IP. Gotcha Man comes out, I think, in June.
Yes.
And then this one's coming out in July. So
how long have they been around for?
I think this is their 10th year.
What?
Yeah, I think this is Mad Key. Yeah, 10 years.
It's wild. Okay.
Yep.
Interesting. All right. Well, anyways.
Jeremy Adams from Green Lantern's on it, and Will Conrad from Black Panther and stuff is on it. So should be a good book. Good book.
Yeah, there's reasons like this that I was kind of mad at myself for not going to Free Comic Book Day this year. This issue zero that Night Watcher Ninja Turtle series, that first, like the first appearance came out during that day. Tons of cool stuff. Energon Universe special. I should have went out that day. I think it was.
They probably still have issues.
I don't know. That stuff sells out fast, man. Now they just go in and people go from store to store, scooping that stuff up like crack addicts they are. Anyways, Turtles of Grayskull is going to get a full comic book run or miniseries. This was a no brainer. The toy series is already on like wave four or five, and they are all pretty awesome. But this 4-issue comic crossover is coming. And you know, it's by Tim Seeley with art, of course, by Freddie Williams II. You know, these guys are always all over this motu.
Tim Seeley loves this stuff, so he's a good writer. This will be a fun series for sure.
It is. Quickly, before we jump into TV and streaming and movie news, we have a couple things about these bundles that are coming about. Because right here we put the Max, Disney, and Hulu bundle, but that's not the only one that's dropping either. There's like the Peacock, Netflix, or no, something else. Like, what's the deal with streaming services and
Netflix
commercials, Peacock, all over them?
Yeah.
And now this, like, is it they're failing? What's going on, Casey?
Yeah. So, yeah, next month, Peacock, Netflix, and Apple TV will have a bundle. And honestly, it's because streaming is getting more expensive than cable. And people don't want to pay for cable, and they don't want to pay for streaming. And Netflix actually did have record highs as far as new subscribers go. So they are thriving, but a lot of these other ones, it's like Paramount, you know what I mean? Like, you don't hype Knuckles, nobody knows about it, you drop it. You drop Arc literally out of nowhere. Like, nobody knows all the amount of shows that some of these channels are putting out, because like they might have one or two big hits and then a bunch of stuff sneak under the radar. So I think people are I'm overwhelmed by the amount of content. Like, there's so many that are like vying for our attention. And then you go and you play that game of, what do I drop? You know, usually Apple TV, until it banks a few more shows, where then I read an article that says Apple TV is the best place for sci-fi television right now. And I'm like, it is, because every show is a sci-fi hit. And then Amazon's like, we're doubling down on comics. So every comic book show on that channel is a sci-fi hit. You know, it's just, they all have their own unique thing. There's just too much of it.
I agree. And you know, it's funny, because you think about Netflix and the way that they structure things, where they're very upfront about like, all right, we're going to have this ad based tier where it's affordable and you're going to watch ads. And a lot of them do that. But then you got somebody like Amazon Prime, who just is like, we're going to add commercials and you're going to have to pay $2 more a month if you don't want it. So for a company like Amazon to do that is it's really shitty, honestly, because it's just like, you don't have to do this. You're the last company that has to do this. Like, maybe you shouldn't have spent millions of dollars, billions of dollars on Lord of the Rings if you had to go and do this to your customer base. Because it's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, I could wait a few extra days for my shipping because I don't want to deal with Amazon anymore. I don't want to pay almost $160 a year just for what now? You know, it's really frustrating as they kind of like have just gone back and punched us in the back of the head by giving us back commercials when we wanted to get away from them to begin with. That was the point. And now it's like, here, give us more money. No. Okay.
It sucks.
Whatever. Anyways, what doesn't suck is there's a Golden Axe animated series headed our way.
Yeah. You know, video games are hot right now. Fallout is massive. You know what I mean? We had Mario. You've got... what else are we watching? I feel like there's a video...
Knuckles.
Knuckles, right. Yeah, so like... we're getting to a point where video games are slowly becoming the new superhero, and it's a little weird for having so many bad video games for such a long time.
Well, that's the thing, right? It was such a joke in the geek sphere of things that no video game could be adapted right. Like everything that came out was crap compared to the game. Now, that's all kind of taken a 180 on itself, and we're getting some really great content. So whatever.
So yeah, this will be a job
than some comics.
Exactly, exactly. 10 episode animated series coming from Comedy Central. So we'll see what this means. I know from Lower Decks and American Dad creators are behind it. So this should be a fun, if it makes fun of swords and sorcery stuff, that to me will make it probably a great, funny show.
That's the way to do it.
Yep, I agree. That's good.
Speaking of Apple Plus great sci-fi, For All Mankind has been renewed for another season, and it's getting a spinoff. I'm one season through the show, and I've been meaning to get back to it. I really, really enjoyed it. It's just, there's times when I really like drama, and when it's well made and it's got a good act and good budget. And Ron Moore has been one of my favorite creators through sci-fi. And I had heard some things about season one about this show, and it doesn't really pick up until after it. And I still really enjoyed season one. And so I'm really excited to get back into it. And, you know, I think there's like going to be, I don't know if this is the fifth season coming or it's been five seasons. Yeah, it's a lot. So it's good times. Anybody out there that likes high drama, it's good stuff.
Yeah, I do want to check it. I want to check out Silo. There's too many.
Exactly. The Witcher will end with season five. I just feel like this is dead in the water before Liam Hemsworth even rides the roach. Sadly, you know, I really kind of feel bad for the guy and the way this has been received, but you can only blame the showrunners for that. So,
yeah, exactly. It's not going to go anywhere.
Sadly. Yeah. I mean, I haven't even watched the third season.
I haven't even because I was heard it's bad.
And that's with Henry Cavill. So, whatever. Something that I've heard is very good, and I can attest to at least two episodes of this, is Fallout, the TV show. Last time we were speculating whether it would be renewed for season two, and it has been. And this show has inspired me to go back to the wasteland once again. As I said at the beginning of the show, I'm knee-deep in New Vegas, which I'm returned to the world. I don't care if it's a 2010 video game. It reminds me of everything I love about these games, and I'm hoping that you enjoy playing 3.
I will get into it. The show is really good, and I was like, I know if I played the video games, this would make this even better. So I want to get the references.
It does. Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This is the next step in the Mutant Mayhem world. So we're getting an animated series on Paramount Plus. Oh, look, they're actually, you know, showing off something they're putting out. cool. I mean, not my favorite iteration of the characters. I loved the movie for what it was, but good for the kids out there and continuing the Ninja Turtle zeitgeist for years to come.
I'm excited. I really I had a fun time with that movie. I've watched it, you know, sometimes with my daughter since, and we are ready. I showed her the trailer for this yesterday, and we're ready for the show.
Good. That's exactly what it's for.
It's it.
And then when The Last Ronin comes out, we can talk.
Well, so, come on, you know.
we'll just go back to that. Yeah, and Jason Aaron stuff. Yes, it is good. Yes. It's great being a turtle in our 40s. For it. And we're 40s like the turtles are. It's good times. It's good times. Next up, Cobra Kai season 6 trailer dropped. I haven't watched it yet. So I'm caught up on the show, but I haven't watched this teaser. So maybe I won't. And I'll just watch the show.
I am actually not going to watch the trailer. I'm good. We know it leads right into the movie that comes out next year that I think they're filming right now with Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan, and however they're combining this weird Karate Kid shared universe. So I don't need the trailer because A, it's not the end of the story. And B, right. You know, I've liked all these seasons. I think that they're consistently good. And I like all the kids, and I'm excited to see at least how this part of the story ends.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're not doing something new and different with that movie. So it's great to see that it's going to go right into that idea. I also haven't watched the Boys season 4 trailer because I'm trying to remember if I finished season 3 yet. And I haven't watched the other show there. So I still need to watch that. In anticipation for this new season that's dropping in June, I think it is.
Yeah, it is. Not that far away. I think it's like maybe a month, not even. So
time to
I'm ready.
Do it all. Got to get back on the Amazon Prime Video for all of it. All right, next up, Blade Runner 2099. Man, I hope they would do a Marvel crossover with this already. But Michelle Yeoh, who is such a great actress and is really doing a lot of stuff lately.
She's thriving right now.
Right? She's been cast as one of the main characters of the show. This is the follow-up to 2049. And, you know, 50 years later. And she's going to play a synthetic and a replicant. And I'm all in. I love the Blade Runner world. I'm really looking forward to a TV show based on it.
Same. That's it. Keep it going. See who's on the soundtrack. Maybe right. Clint Mansell, who does a lot of the stuff for Stranger Things, or not Stranger Things, Black Mirror. Maybe he'll jump on there.
Synth it up. Synth it all up. What's this? I didn't even see this on here. MeTV Tunes.
Yeah. So, you know, I was actually talking to my wife about this the other day. I was like, kids don't know these old characters, and there's no reason to. You know, Hanna-Barbera, you know, because we were talking about the Johnny Quest comic. I was like, oh, Johnny Quest. I don't know if we even talked about on the show. He had a new Comic Book Day comic and been a longtime fan of that character. But, you know, my daughter wouldn't know Bugs Bunny, et cetera, because they're just not in the pop culture. Other Scooby-Doo, he's lasted for the last, you know, 60 plus years or whatever. But anyway, MeTV Toons is going to be putting out a bunch of these classic animated shows for free starting on June 25th. So, you know, Popeye, like I said, Scooby-Doo, Flintstones, Tom and Jerry, you know, I will check it in. I love Wacky Racers. You know, that's one of them. It's just nostalgia for me.
Yeah, it's a great idea. There's no reason why kids shouldn't. I feel like if they don't, it's like, what happens to these characters? We get to see them as like adult versions in comic books.
It's like that's it. That's what I was telling Nisha. I was like, you really only see Hanna-Barbera in comics. I was like, we got Scoob, which is actually a great movie, and then it didn't get a sequel. So anyway. Off my Hanna-Barbera soapbox.
That's fine. Speaking of sequel series, Shogun, one of the best shows I've watched in a long time.
Yeah.
My show of the year so far, for sure. Just great TV. Based on, I forgot what his name is, but the book, the Shogun book was basically the first season. And so Clavel, whatever his name, James Clavel, he wrote an Asian saga, and it takes place at different times in history. You know, it's based on some historical figures. Shogun, for the most part, is kind of based on, you know, historical events. But the show ends the way the book ends. I never read the book, but so the speculation here was, should there be a season 2? Should it be left alone? But it's been said that Hiroyuki Sanada has signed a contract, has signed on for season 2, and it looks like FX will probably move forward with it. Now, I'm okay either way. You and I have discussed this. What do you think?
Ultimately, it's more Shogun. And I didn't read the book, so you know what I mean? I don't know what they took from it and what they left behind. You know what I mean? Maybe there's more story there, but there's more story. Like those two characters,
you know, you see the what's his name as an old man. So like there is a mountain of time in between what happened in season one and what happens to that character. So yeah, I am interested.
Absolutely. If you can just keep the production value up, the storytelling, you know, just as good. I know they changed some stuff anyways, you know, versus the book. So
right.
Whatever. Like just make
a new interpretation, just use that version.
And people are gonna watch it. So it's a no brainer, honestly. Critical Role Legend of Vox Machina season 3 is coming in 2025. I just actually started watching this show the other day, inspired by all things Baldur's Gate and D&D.
I know. I got to get back to it. It's a funny ass show.
It's so good. And I mean, we were just saying how like with like, what was it?
Yeah, Golden Axe. I like it even more now. Yeah.
To take that kind of like comical route is so good. Now it actually makes me want to listen to the podcast and their gaming sessions too, because they're pretty funny.
They are. It's honestly, it's great. You know what I mean? And like getting the mechanics mixed in with like world-class storytelling, like they're just in the acting, you know what I mean? Like it's great. Yeah. It is really good. It's a whole though.
It's so good. And then they just started their, like they just moved away from YouTube and stuff because of YouTube was, you know, all the corporate bullshit that these online providers and hosts do to these companies. And it's like, why are we paying you when we can make money ourselves?
Yeah, they're bigger now. Yeah they're beyond it. So
they've outgrown the monster, which is good. Yeah, it's a great show. I'm really excited to know there's more coming because I have season 1 and 2 to watch. So good times. Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power season 2 trailer dropped. I have not watched it yet. I'm one of the few people. I'm just joking. Most people like that show. Just haters out there. I liked it a lot.
I have to watch it.
Oh,
you know what's so stupid is I just started this ARC show and I have House of the Dragon and Lord of the Rings that I have yet to watch. So maybe that's what I do. And that's what I need to do because both of those shows come out this summer.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I didn't finish House of the Dragon. I think I watched a few episodes and fell off it. So not that I wasn't interested in it. I just.
Yeah, it's like, why are we doing this? What's happening?
Right? This is our stuff. This is our jam. Live action Tomb Raider series coming to Prime.
Prime is getting all these badass shows. This came out yesterday. Yeah, so Phoebe Waller-Bridge is going to be writer, executive producer on this. They're working with Crystal Dynamics. I think it's going to be like a 8-episode series. And, you know, I'm freaking excited. I wish this would have got announced last year because it was like the, I think, 30th anniversary of Tomb Raider. But whatever, you know. This is good. We're getting that anime this year, so I think we're getting that new video game as well.
We'll get the remasters of the trilogy, the old trilogy.
Yeah, that the old trilogy or the new trilogy?
The old one is coming to Switch. Get the original 3 games in one pack. Yeah, I'll be buying that because I love getting those old games on Switch. It's good.
So yeah, it's exciting.
Awesome. We also got our first look at Terminator Zero, which promises to look and be very much like a serial killer, like horror vibe that I'm getting from.
Yes.
This. We love Terminator, and I will happily accept any new material from that world.
Well, you know, if you think about it, and if you rewatch, you know, the first one, it is a horror movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does follow a lot of those tropes. It's not so much action. So it's like a sci-fi horror movie. So I like this idea of the anime going back to like the original Terminator. Then shit, of course, just goes off the rails. And just like Alien to Aliens, James Cameron is like, no, this isn't good enough.
But didn't he do the first Terminator?
Yeah, he did. And then but it was made like guerrilla filmmaking style with like no budget. Then they gave him a budget, the biggest budget ever.
Yeah, this looks great. Do we know when this is coming out? This is soon, I hope.
Yeah.
August 29th.
No, yeah.
All episodes will be unleashed on Netflix, it says. So,
yep.
It'll be a hot, hot summer.
yes.
Got a first look at Doom Prophecy, which is coming to Max. I did not watch this trailer. I have not even watched Dune 2 yet. I'm very disappointed in myself because I promised myself I'd go see it in theaters, and I did not.
I did not know this was a trailer for the show. Oh, my goodness. I need to watch this.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, boy.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'll be watching this on the small screen, just like Dune 2.
Oh, my gosh. Dune 2. I mean, anyway.
Everybody says it.
Yeah. It's just one
of the greatest sci-fi movies ever made. So
it's a great one. Yeah. All right. What's next? So,
movies. We had a little Godzilla's back. It's called a Godzilla Attack on Tokyo. It's short. It's very much. It was funny. It was supposed to premiere in Japan in the end of April. So this is a little bit of old news, but Toho is putting out another little cool thing with Godzilla. You know, that's not minus one. And this was actually previewed on this huge building. I watched a little video of it on social media. It was a neat thing. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Godzilla is alive and well in 2024, 70 years later.
Crushing it.
And speaking of that, fast-tracking the MonsterVerse, which was almost dead after King of the Monsters, thankfully has been saved by a movie that's a good movie, but it's definitely not as good as those older MonsterVerse movies, which weren't really a hit with the fans for some reason. But thankfully for Godzilla versus Kong, and now Godzilla X Kong, and maybe Godzilla Z Kong. I don't even know what's next, but... we need a Godzilla-centric movie, and I think that's what's coming next from Shang-Chi writer, who's been fast-tracked to write this movie. So, hey, the minute that Godzilla X Kong did great, we got an announcement of Legacy of Monsters Season 2, spin-offs of it, all of this stuff. So, please, keep buying these tickets. Maybe that no-brainer kaiju movie on the big screen is the thing, right? So
that's it.
Whatever. This next one, us being Michael Bay fans and Post Malone is teaming up with Michael Bay for a new IP universe about an 18-wheeler from heaven that fights zombies in medieval Europe. This sounds like an anime almost.
This is a comic.
What? This is a comic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's going to launch with a graphic novel.
Yes.
And then be a movie? Hmm. I'm
the
sure.
IP-verse. Okay, an 18-wheeler that descends from heaven. Well, this sounds just, you know, like something that was announced, and I don't know what to say about it. Michael Bay and Post Malone making a comic.
Yeah. And hopefully it'll be made into a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, sounds insane. So let's see. Let's wait and see what happens. Explosions, yep. I'm sure. Explosions. The long in production and out of production, then back in production, Master Universe live action movie has been announced to be moving over to from Netflix with Travis Knight, who reinvigorated the Transformers universe, which was, you know, a good thing. And so hopefully he brings some chops to MOTU, but you know, the premise of the movie has already gotten some people a little bit upset, but I don't care. Let's just see what happens.
This is. Did you read this plot?
Yes.
I don't know if you were going
back. Going back to Earth.
Yeah, I don't want to go back to Earth.
I just don't understand why we can't get a real adaptation of Masters of the Universe.
Gosh.
This is what turns fans against material.
Anyway, I mean, listen, I do like that director, writer. So let's just wait until we see a thing.
Or not see it. Cause
my goodness.
Get abandoned halfway through the project.
Yeah.
Anyways, finally, Riddick has returned. Riddick Furia is officially in production. Vin Diesel's back. We got a plot summary. Riddick's going to return to his homeworld and fight alongside his people against the new monster. And I'm all in. I pulled out all my DVDs. I've been meaning to do a, you know, my wife and I love that series. I've been meaning to do a big marathon of it. And I think it's time because I've dusted off the Blu-ray player finally with the resurgence of Blu-ray and streaming madness that's bringing us all down. Now we just need to go back to physical media once again. I even started buying 4K Blu-rays in anticipation of having a 4K player someday.
There you go.
What do you exactly do? You go down, I would go down a deep dive, Pitch Black, Chronicles of Riddick, but the games, do you remember those games?
I do.
They have the same stealth mechanics as Splinter Cell. Those are awesome games.
I had it for Xbox.
Yeah, I think they were Xbox games.
Yeah.
I don't know. We should see if we could find those. I would. Oh, now that I'm saying it, I'm going to look up those Riddick games. Anyways.
But don't forget, there's also there's the movies and the animated.
And the anime. Yeah, so, which was great. Yeah. I think that whole world, man, we've been waiting for King Riddick for a long time.
Exactly. It's been too long.
Butcher Bay. That's what it was.
Yes. That game was awesome.
Sweet.
Next up, The Hunt for Gollum, slated for 2026. This was just announced with Peter Jackson returning to help with the production. What do you think about this? Is this the right movie to do? Is this?
No, this is so stupid. Andy Serkis writing, I think, maybe not writing, but he's directing it and starring. Yeah. So this was one of the big things. Like, Warner Brothers came out and said, Bob Iger came out and said, we're going to do less of the Marvel stuff. And then David Zaslav said, we're going to double down on legacies. Our legacies being things like Planet of the Apes, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, like their long standing, like, you know, Dune now is like series of movies, Batman, DC, all that. So they're, you know, trying to get, they're like, we haven't seen Lord of the Rings in a very long time, like in the big screen. And we haven't seen Harry Potter in a very long time on the small screen. So that he was saying some cool things there. I think The Hunt for Gollum, I don't like, why? I just don't get it.
I don't know either. I mean, remember how that game did so poorly because it was just garbage, and then people were just like, why would
nobody
you make
cares
something
about Gollum right now?
Right. You know, we did get a look at positively was the War of the Rohirrim. I don't think we put that in here. No, animated that movie cool. That's coming.
Yeah. And that's exactly great. It. Do that shit.
Right. Like, give us some like outside this little crunched universe of what's happening with Gollum. Like we.
Yeah.
What happened
know
with Gollum
that dude's
is
story.
What happens.
Right. Go pick any dwarf at any time outside of the time that Gimli was there and tell me that one dwarf story. Like, it's all you got in that world. Doesn't matter. There's so much they can mine.
Samarillion, like all of this stuff.
They don't even have to adapt anything, though, if they don't. I mean, like, they just put anything in that world. Give me a group of kids who find a freaking troll. I don't care. Stranger Things in that world. I don't know. Right. Sorry.
We'll see. It's okay. It's all right. At least we get that anime movie. We also get this from the Jim Henson Company.
This is the greatest.
Yeah.
This is insane. Sorry.
No, it's fine. We're getting Grendel, which is a new live action movie starring Jeff Bridges and Dave Bautista and some other people. Bryan Cranston, Sam Elliott, all these great actors, and this is going to be Jim Henson level stuff. So,
well, I think that's going to be puppets.
Yeah, it's all practical creature work.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any, you know, humans.
Ooh. Like,
I don't think
Dark Crystal.
Yeah, I do, because it just seems weird. Like, they don't say it in the article. They just say they're set to play them, but they don't say like as their voices or anything.
Interesting.
Because I don't like how would Jim Henson, unless the creatures are like that and they're humans playing against it, but
Yeah. Anyway, I am very excited about this.
Yeah. Yeah, either Dark Crystal or Lambert style. I don't know.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges playing a monster. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's just his voice.
Well, I mean, that could be either way, right?
I guess. So, yeah.
This next piece you shared with me, Christopher Nolan dropped a little teaser with a top on it. And you think it's Inception 2, which is probably what it is.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. They didn't come out and say anything.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he hasn't confirmed or denied it. Maybe. He just teased a little top.
No, next door. Right.
And that's it. So I don't know. Yeah. We'll see what's going on.
Yeah. What we do know about for a sequel is Mortal Kombat 2 will drop on October 24th, 2025 in IMAX and more. So yeah, I'm excited for this because Mortal Kombat 1 just came to streaming, right? During COVID. It wasn't, I don't remember.
Yeah, was there a dual release? I think it was like, I don't think it did go to theaters.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. Okay, will that's fine. I'm excited. Yeah, they will, for sure. Yeah.
And then last up in movie news, another sequel. Happy Gilmore 2 has been fast-tracked by Netflix after far too long.
Yeah, you know, Adam Sandler has that deal with Netflix where he gets to do all this stuff. I'm curious what they'll do with it. You know, I really do love that first movie, so we'll see how it goes.
Oh, for sure. It's been, yeah, I'm just surprised that we haven't gotten more sequels from that. I mean, Adam Sandler's got some great stuff too, though, like not even comic stuff. So it's good to see this. I'm excited to see, and we got some characters returning, so it's time to go back to that world. Last up, gaming. We've been talking about Ninja Turtles. There's been so many games. but Splintered Fate, which is a roguelike. And so this is actually coming to Switch. This has been out, though, for either like mobile or computer or something. But this game looks great. Splintered Fate dropping on Switch.
Yeah, I would, you know, Turtles game. It's on the Switch. That's it. And it's totally different than the other ones. So I like that they are still staying Turtles, but in a different way. I'm excited.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny. It was co-written by Tom Waltz, who did The Last Ronin, stuff like that. So the story for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. I have to be trying this out.
It was an app game.
That's right. It was the Apple Store, right?
Yep. Yep. That's what it was.
I got to play it.
Probably be better this way, honestly.
Oh, absolutely. I have such a hard time playing games on my phone. Alien Rogue Incursion is coming out for VR. I mean, the only thing better than Alien Isolation would be like Alien Isolation in VR, where I can just totally be submerged in that horrific world and be hunted by an alien.
Can't wait.
So this, yeah, I don't have any 3D VR gaming or anything like that. So unfortunately, you know, someday I'll get to play that, but it's a great idea.
It's coming for you.
What's that?
I said it's coming for you. The VR.
Yeah, exactly. Next up, Rule 7 is shut down. Now, you brought my attention. We were big fans of Rollerdrome because that game was awesome. And so what's happened here?
Basically, Take-Two, which is like the parent company, just kind of shut down a bunch of their smaller indie companies. So yeah, Rollerdrome was one. Ollie, which is great, like a skateboarding type game. That was fun too. So yeah, they made some fun smaller games, and unfortunately a lot of these smaller companies are getting shuttered. They're getting bought up by the big guys and then like just disappearing, unfortunately.
It's funny because we just Take Two is actually putting out that Tales of the Shire game that we removed from our show notes today because we don't give a shit. Yeah. So it's like, let's continue with these games that nobody wants, but yeah, you know, get rid of ones. I don't know.
I know. I would like a something that too. I'd play that. Like, come on.
Right? That game was such a surprise hit. Yeah. Nice mashup of different game types. So Switch 2 has been rumored and rumored for a long time. It looks like it will be coming out sometime this year.
Say within this fiscal year, so don't know exactly when, and that's fine. That's, you know, Nintendo can do what Nintendo wants to do. But yeah, it's about time. Will you get it? Like, to me, if it's backwards compatible, I'll just get it day one. Like, I don't want to, like, just give me it.
Yeah, I bought my Switch so long ago, and it was used anyways, and it's lasted this long. I never got the upgrade.
Was used too. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people have had issues with their Switches. I never have had an issue with my Switch with battery life or anything. So it still works really well for me. But yeah, I'll buy another one. I think the Switch is one of the best video game systems ever made, just because of its ability to switch.
Yeah.
And
longevity.
You know, it's just smart. And that was my biggest disappointment, I think, with the PlayStation 1. Yes, it's nice for what it is. If like, say, in your situation where you can't sit down in front of the console all the time, but it's not really an on-the-go console fully. So it's like it has a lot of reliabilities on Wi-Fi and your PS5 and things like that. So
yeah,
I love Nintendo, and I think that with Nintendo improving their catalog for more, working with more companies and releasing more adult games, I think that, you know, they've done a good job staying relevant.
The output's been good recently.
Yeah.
I feel like they're constantly putting out something, and that, you know, good stuff.
Right. And it's also, like I said, like with that Tomb Raider one or like the Metal Gear Solid one, yeah, like all of these new releases, I would rather buy it on that than buy it on my PlayStation and take it to go with me, because who cares about the graphics? It doesn't bother me, you know? So anyways,
yep.
Last up, we got our first look at Assassin's Creed Shadows, which was, you know, for a while called Assassin's Creed Red, I believe.
Yeah.
We got the trailer. It's a story trailer featuring two protagonists, including Yasuki, I think his name is, the African samurai, which they did that Netflix show, I think, about a real historical character.
They did do that. I forgot about that.
Yep.
But not Afro Samurai, which is a great show.
No. But I've heard that one's good. And then also the other protagonist is a female shinobi. So I'm really looking forward to it. They said the map size is about the size of Origins, which I love Origins. I think that's a great game. The two after that, Odyssey is an awesome game. It's probably my favorite. It gets bigger and Valhalla, but it's too big. And that's somebody who loves to explore and spend many, many hours doing so. It was actually too big of a game at some points. But I think that, you know, I'm really looking forward to this little, their first step into the Japanese culture game. They did some Chinese ones, but they were for more like mobile and things like that. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to this because I do love the samurai ninja aspect. Drops in November.
Yeah, this, you know, I haven't played an Assassin's Creed in forever, and I kind of feel bad because I think I would really like Black Flag, and I think I'd really like Valhalla and Origins a lot.
Well,
Odyssey would probably be the best one for me.
I keep telling you, I think you'd really love Odyssey. It's a great,
it's
an awesome game.
So, I have it too, but
yeah.
anyway, so yeah, but this looks, you know, I've been wanting to be in this world. Though I haven't played Ghost of Tsushima either, so. And that, yeah, oh, that's the one that just came out.
The Rise of the Ronin.
Yeah, so, and Sifu, like, maybe I should just get on the other stuff before I get out of Assassin's Creed.
Sifu, you know, at least we have for free. And that's much more of like a roguelike, you know, martial arts game more than an open world RPG. Right. Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima, I still have to finish. I was playing it on PS4 before PS5 dropped, and I kind of must have picked up another game. It's like I got like halfway through it. I want to pick it up again on PS5 because of all the graphical enhancements and stuff, and it's still such a hailed game. So it's good stuff. Good stuff. Anyways, that's the end of the show. Casey, where can you find us?
You can find us on don'tforgetatowel.com, the only place to travel geekly, all over the social medias at dfatentertainment.com, dfatent on socials, and wherever you need a towel.
Don't forget it, right?
That's it, yeah. This is Casey saying, go read your comics.
And this is Chris saying, don't forget a towel.